the near post. Messi to the net. Ramel Kiyoko now. Here's a Honduran. He'll whip it in back to the far post. Elise! Albert Elise. La Pantarita. It's a Honduran connection.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com. From the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, second hour of Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5 on the air. First hour dominated by calls. Wilmer Cabrera is out as the Houston Dynamo coach. It's pretty funny. I've got all kinds of people saying, hey, Wilmer Cabrera has been fired, sending me texts here. Victor and Andrew Carlson in studio here. You know, I don't think they realize that there is a 7 to 9 Central Time soccer show every Tuesday called Soccer Matters. You know, we're going to have to get Bobby Boswell to become a listener of this program. 713. It's funny, though. People love to break news, and when it's good or bad, it's what it's all about. And we need more news around the Houston Dynamo. I don't think there's any question. What we've learned tonight is there is passion, and there is passion that needs to be tapped into. And speaking of passion, a little bit, going to take a few more phone calls here, and then we're going to have on from a number of the great supporters groups here in Houston. By the way, supporter is defined by the Webster's Dictionary as one that supports or acts as support. A couple of synonyms I would give for that would be advocate, booster, backer, true believer. But we're going to find out if these guys with Houston Wolves, Paul LePage, we've got from the Peña Madrista, Houston, Texas. Juan Ramon Uyarte. Did I get it right, Juan?
Amazing.
All right. That's the last time I'll say your last name tonight on the show. And from Aston Villa, Paul Mati is also in here. So we're going to get to them in a minute. We're going to knock a couple phone calls out, and then we're going to hear from these three men. And I'm very excited to have you guys here in studio. Let's go to the phone line. Rob, you've been waiting 16 minutes. Thank you for your patience.
Yeah, Glenn, good to talk with you again. Here's my shot on the perspective of it. I really feel that the owners and the general manager have used the coach as a scapegoat. You know, we're last or next to last in payroll since Brenner and De La Hoya took over the team. This travesty starts at the top and works its way down. Until we get some owners that are going to invest in some players that can go out there and play and put a product on the field that fans want to come and watch, the Dynamo will continue to struggle no matter who the coach is. It's a shame. It's a travesty. The responsibility lies with Brenner and De La Hoya. Bottom line.
Is this a tipping point, you think? Do you think, you know, look, we saw a tipping point in New England when Bruce Arena got the job with the Crafts. Do you think this could be a tipping point in your eyes?
You know, I don't know. I think that the culture is bad on the team. That's why we see these red and yellow cards with frequency, with players that need to show better composure. You know, they're frustrated coming out of the locker room. I mean, you can line up with LAFC. They can put their B team on the field and beat the sun out of us.
All right, Rob, we thank you for that. 713-780-3776 will be the number tonight, but we're going to switch a little bit here of gears here towards our supporters groups. And again, we welcome in from Houston Wolves, Paul LePage, from the Peña Madrista, Houston, Texas, Juan Ramon Uyarte. Is that right, Juan?
Perfect.
All right, and Austin, by the way, perfect is your go-to word.
I know, right, for tonight.
That's called a crutch word. Like, I used to have them when I started in broadcasting
and
doing games, and you kind of have to, but perfect, I do like that. And Aston Villa's Paul Mati. So, Juan, I'm going to start with you. Just tell us a little bit about your Peña. Tell us about your support for Real Madrid. I know there's a couple groups in Houston. There's another one as well that we have.
Of course, yeah. Yes. So we're Peña Madridista HTX. We started around the early 2018. We've been supporting Real Madrid like nonstop. We watch our games at Hugh O'Connor's by I-10. And honestly, we are so excited about this upcoming season because, honestly, it's going to be new players, new season. Zidane's back. I know that we were a little bit worried about this preseason that we had. But honestly, like every time that like there's someone down or any player doesn't aren't stepping up, the younger ones are. I know that we were very excited to see at the game Kubo from Japan, which was just amazing to see the kind of talent he had at his age, as well as, you know, Rodrigo, who stepped up. Hazard finally got his first debut goal. And honestly, it's more of exciting because it's going to be a new season, you know. I still believe that we're still in transition. However, we do think
we'll get to the transition in a minute because I have some questions for you. Where do you guys meet, by the way?
Hugh O'Connor's by I-10.
Okay, Hugh O'Connor's on I-10. Yes. Great spot. Also the spot where the Liverpool supporters groups are. And I know Eddie Mendoza also has a Real Madrid group. I want you guys to start getting along now, okay?
We've always been respectful.
I'm here to bring you guys together. Of course. Come on.
I would love to do a show with you and him. How about that?
We'll do that. Awesome. All right. I want to get to... the Wolves, it's Houston_Wolves on Twitter. Paul LePage, happy to join him in here. By the way, if you ever see Paul in a bar, do not try to pick a fight with this guy. He's 6'6". Paul, what do you have to say about your group and where do you meet?
Yeah, thanks, Glenn. We formed in December 2 years ago, and we meet up in Nick's place off Westheimer. Mm-hmm. And we started off, there was me and four others, and now we've grown to regularly attract kind of 20, 25 fans, both expats, English, and more recently some local fans as well. So it's been great to kind of grow the fan base.
That's awesome. And you and I connected, I think, through Facebook or somewhere on social media. And when I heard about it, I was like, man, this is great. We have to start, you know, listen, we got the big clubs represented in Houston. Not that you guys aren't.
Sure.
We all know that. But the history with all these clubs are tremendous. The one thing I would say to you is... I guess I have to ask you this question. Year after year in the Premier League, is it tough? Do you actually believe you can win a Premier League title? Because we've had this conversation around Major League Soccer, right?
Sure.
Where everybody still has a chance with the playoff system, pretty much.
Sure.
I mean, you really have to be poor to be out of the playoffs with three or four weeks left in the season. I know it's history. I know it's cultural. I know it's deep-rooted. Many of you have grown up in the city where Wolves is, right?
Exactly.
So take me into that a little bit, because you did have a great season last year. You caused problems for some of the big teams, but in the end, you know, you're going up against these multi-mega, you know, billionaire-run teams.
Exactly. I think the position that Wolves are in is that we've got great financial backing from the owners. We've got a great coach, a young team.
And I should correct myself, because you did get a lot more financial backing in recent times.
Sure. So I think it's not necessarily maybe winning the Premier League, but it's trying to crack that top four to get into the Champions League and get that extra finance there.
Right.
Be it via the league or the Europa League, which we're in this year. And then it's kind of a stair-step level from that way, because there's some kind of... saying that kind of Manchester United are on the decline or Chelsea may be falling. Manchester United just spent $97 million on a centre-half. We're not even in that stratosphere yet. So that's the kind of financial game that we're playing to try and crack that next level.
So the goal is get into the Champions League. That's got to be the goal every year.
Our owners are adamant. That's the challenge. That's what they're working towards.
And Paul? Aston Villa, we're back, baby.
We're back, right?
We're back. All right, tell us what's going on with Aston Villa. But first, tell us about your group, where you guys meet, and then I have a Peter Wyss story for you.
That'd be great. So we are actually the Space City Lions. We are now at the Phoenix on Westheimer.
Oh.
I'm a great place to watch football. We cohabit with the Celtic and there's some Man City fans who go there as well. And we all get on, but great place to watch football. I'm the co-chair of the Space City Lions with my good friend Derek. And it's a great place to watch. Our club was formed when actually Villa played the Houston Dynamo about 3 or 4 years ago. Came in, had a great time, and as a result of that, the Space City Lions were formed, and we've grown from just being, you know, one or two people coming along to for actually the playoff final. there was nearly 100 people in the Phoenix. Wow. I mean, it was like, wow, I didn't realize there were this many people with claret and blue shirts in in Houston. It was great. It was great. So, you know, we're a good, you know, fervent bunch of followers.
When did the support for the club occur for you, young man?
Oh, yeah. My granddad knew Pongo Waring, which is going back to the 20s. I mean, I think he... I think it was my granddad who managed to persuade me to be a Villa fan. But I just can't remember not being a Villa fan. I mean, just growing up where I did, it's... I've always been a Villa fan. You know, just all my memories, first game I went to, everything. So, in fact, I was just telling the other Paul that when I grew up at school, all the playground was either claret and blue and old gold and black. I mean, just the part of the country we grew up in, it was everyone was either Villa or Wolves.
So. And by the way, so who's your biggest celebrity supporter?
Oh, we've got the future King of England. I don't think you get much better than
that. That's pretty. Wait a minute.
Tom Hanks.
We got Robert Plant with Wolves.
That's right. Yeah, that's the true rock god right there. So.
Led Zeppelin rock gods. I take him over Tom. I like Tom too, but I think I'm going Robert Plant. Robert, if you're in Austin, Texas, and you're in studio right now and you're listening to this, which I know you probably are, we can't wait to see you in Austin. All right, Juan Ramon, talk to me about Neymar. Do you think he's going to end up at Real Madrid? Madrid or Barcelona? Because this is an interesting one for a number of different reasons.
Yes, of course. Honestly, at first the rumors kind of started out like typical football rumors that were like, yeah, it's a big prolific player, the newspapers sell. But suddenly a lot of newspapers from Spain actually started, and reporters who actually got transfers right actually started commenting about the negotiations.
People that were credible.
Exactly. So it got people excited, but then it started shifting to Barca talk, then it started shifting back to Madrid talk. At this point, I say, in the state of the shape that the preseason was, it won't hurt to get Neymar, but at the same time, I do see it as a very long stretch, especially if you see how much Madrid has invested in transfers. Hazard, Jovic, Rodrigo, Militao. It's been huge investments. So, and especially with Barca, who did another transfer with Antoine Griezmann. So I do believe that it can be possible, but I do see it
do
as
do you a want him personally?
Personally, I've always been on the fence with Neymar, especially being someone from Mexico and seeing him play.
Because that means Justin Bieber is going to be at your games. You know that.
Basically. So,
it's not good for the image.
I know, right? But honestly, he's such a talented player. I feel like the only thing he lacks is a bit of maturity within on the field and
you
outside
think?
The field.
Well, see, he's an example to me of a multi-gifted guy. And I want you guys to weigh in this, Paul. The two Pauls. I want you guys to weigh in this as well, because I see a lot of footballers to me that are first and foremost celebrities first, footballer second. Immensely talented guys, but celebrity first with the social media. This is why I love the guys like Virgil van Dijk, the guys that are out now pros. They're not taking pictures of their abs constantly. They're not telling you what they're having for dinner. And I know fans like that. But I do like a little bit of throwback with guys that are just all about the game and the team.
Oh, no, please go.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a reflection of the modern game, and these guys are chasing the money. You know, it's a short career, so if they're getting these checks from the big sponsors, then there's that element to it as well. But I think just as fans that we like players that put on the shirt and give 100% each game, and, you know, as long as that happens, they can kind of do what they want in the spare time. So it's kind of, I think there's a balance to be struck.
Yeah, and I'm not condoning it, but I think there are certain guys, and Neymar really is one to me, that it's all about all this other stuff. You know, and it's like, hey, when are you going to get focused on your game? Because you are a footballer first, right? And by the way, Brazil just won, you know, the Copa America without
exactly.
him, which I think is only healthy for him.
So two things, yes, of course. And on top of that, the way that he's been dealing with the PSG situation is that it really comes to question, do Real Madrid fans really want that? Is desperately getting a trophy enough to warrant that kind of player? I mean, look what happened with Mario Balotelli. I mean, It was a destructive attitude, and slowly teams were just pushing him away. He was scoring goals, but he had some of the worst attitude. And another example, Ede Bayor, just cracking up checks until, you know, the team got fed up with him.
All right, we're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, Paul, you're going to be up first. We're going to let you have your crack at the modern athlete right now. But as we say that, you have to think of guys like Jurgen Klopp. There's quite the culture there. Everybody seems pretty focused there. I don't see those guys all over the place on social media. And I would say Man City to a degree, too.
Yeah.
I mean, and you're talking about Guardiola. So I'm not sure I want the job of keeping those guys in check. But those guys have done pretty amazing jobs from what I see from the outside. We're going to take a break here. John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, they are presenting sponsors. They work for you 24/7, nights and weekends. John and his firm, you can contact them at DaspitLaw.com. Car accidents, motorcycle, industrial construction accidents, plant, refinery. You might drive an 18-wheeler. Look, nobody wants you to get in an accident. But if you do, you have to have the right representation. John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. By the way, they're bringing soccer on the radio to you, and they are also our presenting sponsors in Austin, Texas, and our Soccer Matters Austin version on the horn. So we appreciate John and his firm. Also, Q57, it's the home of the Houston Dynamo. Join Eddie Robinson, Cindy Bourbano, and myself. We're proud to bring the commentary of the Dynamo on the Cube. We'll do that again this Saturday when the Dynamo take on the Colorado Rapids. That is former pro player soccer night. So Houston Stars in our history played at the Astrodome. Houston Hurricanes, Summit Soccer, Houston Dynamos, also the Houston Hotshots indoor team. There's going to be a number of ex-players and owners out there for that as well. By the way, it'll be Bobby Boswell on the commentary this weekend standing in for Eddie Robinson. We'll take a break. We've got more to come here. We're going to call this an Advantage BMW break.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, quick shout out for the King's Court. Saturday, there'll be Premier League action down there, and Sunday as well. Dynamo supporters group El Batallón goes in there before the game, so it'll be busy down at the King's Court this weekend. That's in Edo, 903 Hutchins in the shadows of BBVA Stadium. 13 monitors there for all your soccer-watching desires. We got great pubs around Houston. Hugh O'Connor's as well, 7620 Katy Freeway. That's where the Real Madrid, the Peña goes as well. That's in the Marquee Entertainment Center, 18 TVs, big screen, LFC's there as well. I just love how the supporters' culture has grown. Okay, Aston Villa's Paul Mati. Now, you have a new signing that you're very excited about, and there's an Egyptian tie to this in Trezeguet.
Yes, we've got a new signing, Trezeguet. He played very well against Tottenham at the weekend, but I guess not a lot of people know that Villa were very close to going out of business less than a year ago, and we ended up getting a very rich owner in two of them in Edens and Wes and Nassif Suarez, and he's the Egyptian who owns the Adidas. He's the major shareholder in Adidas. So there's been a lot of talk that we've signed this. A guy who plays alongside Mo Salah and one of the top-rated Egyptians to sort of actually push the club in that level in the sort of social media. And
so coming to Villa Park now is going to be The second Egyptian superstar, just like Mo Salah, yes, Trezeguet.
He's definitely, if you
open
if,
possibility.
If you've got one to watch, I would say he looked very excited from his exciting from his first game.
Take me a little bit through though the pain of going down from the Premier League and then coming back up, because look, Aston Villa is a massive club. You've won a European Cup. There's tremendous history in the Premier League. 24 straight seasons. All of a sudden, you're down in the championship, and that's no easy way to get back into the league either, by the way, as everybody knows.
It certainly isn't. I think by the time we went down, it ended up becoming a relief. And we obviously had an owner who had a divorce, lost half his money in the financial crisis. And, you know, for people who know American football, he owned the Cleveland Browns, which gives you an idea of, you know, how good an owner he was. And we'd had so many years of him underfunding the team that by the time we went down, it just became inevitable. I mean, I think the last season we were there in the Premiership, we only won three games. I mean, we went down with a real whimper, with a lot of players who were just cashing a last paycheck. And so the 3 years going down, I think we all were naive, thinking we'd come straight up, and you don't realise just what a tough division the Championship is. And we got through the second year and we thought we were going to make it through. But honestly, the last year we spent in the Championship, we went on a run where we won 10 games on the row, which set... Our team was founded in 1874, never had been done before. And so just imagine, you know, I'm sure Dynamo fans would be really excited if the Dynamo could win 10 on the bounce. I mean, at any league, that's a difficult feat.
Yeah,
and then just to go through and win it at Wembley, I mean, with, you know, with a Villa manager and our Villa captain, you know, who was a boyhood fans. I mean, just a magical season.
Just remarkable. I mean, these are amazing things. I'm going to go now to Paul LePage, and I want to ask you about, you got a busy week with Wolves here, because we wrote down before this, you got Europa League, and then Monday, 2 p.m., Manchester United. So a busy week. Are you going to be able to get to the pub for both of these games? And should I say that or not, in case your boss is listening?
That's right, yeah. I'll plead the fifth on that one, Glenn.
Hey, you got a little touch of the Bangkok flu over the weekend.
I'm in a meeting. Yeah, so it's so exciting being in European competition after nearly 40 years, but the struggle of Thursday nights, then Sunday, if we qualify, it's going to be tough. We've got Torino next. They finished seventh in the Italian league, so it'll be no mean feat to qualify for the group stages. And yeah, on Sunday, you've got one of the best teams in the league. So it's the games that you want to be playing in, but it's certainly need some management and making sure that the squad are rested and fit and up for each game.
Do you have the depth?
I think personally we're a little short. We've got a great starting 11. We're pretty strong on the bench. I'd have liked to have seen maybe one or two come in and supplement that. But kind of Nuno, our coach, right from the outset, saying I want a strong, competitive starting 11. A strong bench and then supplemented with under-23s and the youth. So that's what he's going for, so we'll see.
Juan Ramon, it's a different thing with Real Madrid now. Zinedine Zidane, you know, he had pretty much a team intact that he carried and managed to these unbelievable runs with Cristiano Ronaldo. And this is a different situation for him now. And I think a lot of people are looking at him saying, okay, can he put a team together now and can he build and can he grow this team? Because he's never done that.
Yeah, of course. I mean, like, we were so excited after the terrible season we had last season. Well, terrible because we still qualified to Champions League. But honestly, seeing Zidane back, we were very excited. Definitely right now our president put the money down for these amazing players. Of course, this preseason hasn't been what we were aspiring to. But I think right now Zidane is looking, because Zidane is not big on opportunities. As you can see, didn't even call up James to the last preseason game. So the moment he gives the opportunity to any of these players, I think they're going to step up. And like I said before in the preseason, you know, where other players were lacking, the young players went out there and didn't care that they were playing with these big stars. They went there to prove something, you know. Nobody could stop talking about Kubo, Rodrigo, when we were supposed to be talking about Hazard and Jovic, you know. So I think right now Zidane, of course, he's under a lot of pressure right now, but I think eventually the pieces of the puzzle are going to start fitting together, and slowly we're going to be able to find the chemistry. Because I mean, at the end of the day, it's Real Madrid, and we aspire for every cup regardless of the situation of the team. And despite the drama in the locker room, despite the all this crazy transfer news and everything like that, I think that eventually they'll find their footing and make a great successful season.
What about Gareth Bale?
So Gareth Bale was very unexpected, especially from Zidane. So I know that Bale made sure that he wants to stay to Madrid. I hope that same commitment of staying in the club shows in their performance, because although I love Bale, I even brought his jersey today, but these last two seasons he has been lacking, and unfortunately the injuries.
Attitude. How do you love him with his attitude, though? Don't you think he's got a bit of an attitude? I know he's a spectacular footballer, but
he has the attitude, but eventually when it came down to playing, he would do his job. Now, I think what's...
When he played, he was hurt half the time.
Exactly. So when he was injured, I think that's what kind of killed his morale. I mean, if you see Gareth Bale from 2014 to right now, you see a clear, decay from his performances. And especially in his goal average and his assist average, everything has gone down.
So why would that happen to a guy like that when many people who get injured, it's motivating to get back? Do you want him around?
I personally thought he was going to leave, but the crazy wages that he has right now,
nobody wants him.
Exactly.
You think Zidane's going to freeze him out?
The way that he called him out in public was, I'm not surprised if he would.
Gareth's gonna make $1 million a week training with the reserves, right, Paul?
Oh man, I wouldn't even be surprised if he turns out to be playing with Kubo and Castilla. You know, so
would either of you guys? Would you invite Gareth to Wolves or to Aston Villa? Would you want him based on where he is right now with injuries and mentality?
Not on that salary, but yeah. I mean, he's a great player. He's a great player, no doubt.
Yeah,
I mean, he just won the Champions League 2 years ago with one of the best goals I've ever seen in the final. I mean, you know, he does step up on the big stage. I mean, how could you? Maybe I'm just a bit biased from seeing him when he first came up with Tottenham. I mean, he was playing left back like a left winger. I mean, just a phenomenal talent.
Yeah. He gets linked to Manchester United a lot too, doesn't he?
It would make sense, I think.
Winger based.
Right.
Yeah. What about you, Paul? Would you welcome him at Wolves? I mean, in the place he is right now, forget about the wages. If he said, I wanted to come to Wolves, would you take him?
I think if the fire is in your belly, then definitely. He's got too much talent as a player. Kind of take the financial element out of it. He's a cracking player. So of course, yeah.
I think you hit the nail on the head though. Is the fire in the belly?
Yeah, of course. Right? Honestly, it's a matter of being able to put your drama aside and leave it out on the pitch, you know? Yes, definitely, you know, all the struggles with the manager and all that, but at the end of the day, your feet are the one that makes the talking, you know?
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, remember what happened to Bastian Schweinsteiger at Manchester United? I mean, the guy was sent down to the reserves. He was just here in Houston with Chicago. Sent down to the reserves, never said anything, never came out in the paper, but Mourinho treated him very disrespectfully. Right?
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Yeah. All right, so we got here Houston Wolves, Paul LePage. We've got from the Peña Madrista, HTX, Juan Ramon. Go ahead, Juan.
Uriarte. Come on, Glenn.
Uriarte.
There you go.
Uriarte. Hey, it almost sounds Italian.
Uriarte. A little bit.
And Paul Matti of Aston Villa. All right, Paul, who do we got? Let's see. Who do we got this weekend for you guys? You came back to the Premier League, 3-1 down to Spurs and two goals. From Harry Kane in that one.
Yeah, but they were late on. I mean,
86 and 90th minute, you're right.
We did take the lead with probably the best goal of the game. John McGinn was got a bit cracker if no one's seen that one.
You got a good story about John McGinn. Tell us.
Well, it sounds bad name dropping, but I went, Aston Villa actually toured, they did their preseason training in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And it was great access. We went to the open training and we got to shake hands with all the players and got to chat. I told John McGinn, I said, oh, I was, you know, it's, I said, it's hot. You know, I came, I've come up from Houston. I was hoping to be a bit cooler. And John, without any answer, he just said, oh, yeah, I was going to sign with Houston 3 years ago. He said, I was in the city. He said it was a really nice downtown. So he must have got as close as actually being in the city. I guess it would have been when Owen Coyle was the manager.
Paul Matzy dropping some good stuff right here, saying that we could have had John McGinn, who's now currently with Aston Villa in the Premier League here with the Houston Dynamo. Owen Coyle was the manager at the time. We'll take a break here. We're going to come back again. We've got three great guys in here. They are all in here on behalf of their supporters group. We have Paul LePage of it's at Houston_Wolves. We have Juan Ramon Uyarte.
Hey,
there we go. At P Madrista HTX on Twitter, and Aston Villa Paul Matzy. Give us your handle on Twitter, Paul.
Oh,
Space please, City Lions.
It's Space City Lions. My good friend Derek will answer and enroll everybody who needs to follow us.
There you go. You got the support.
Space City Lions. They're also on Facebook.
There you go. Facebook as well. Going to take a break here. Quick break here. Quick reminder. We're going to go to this break with Kings Court. Place to be, 903 Hutchins, Kings Court. Lots of Premier League action this weekend. We'll take a break. We're going to come back with the two Pauls and Juan Ramon after this.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Glenn Davis.
McAllister para pegarle. Ahora en el área espera Mauro Zárate. En el área espera Altano, espera De Rossi. Mira el centro, así va De Rossi. Gol. Gol.
De Rossi scoring on his debut for Boca Juniors in the 28th minute. 1-0 lead over Almagro. That's the Copa Argentina. This is the round of 32. And I'll just throw this out to all three of you guys and just jump in whenever you want. It's a pretty amazing move that a guy who spends his entire career at Roma, Daniele De Rossi, then goes the other direction to South America and Argentina to play for Boca Juniors.
I mean, it's not just any kind of move. I mean, he went to one of the most passionate clubs in Latin America. I mean, the amount of crazy fans there is at Boca Juniors is so respectable that it's just like, you better not show up in a River jersey because you will be getting kicked out of that stadium.
Yeah, sometimes more than that. Yeah,
of course.
Isn't that amazing, though? Because really, it's usually the other direction. Even we are benefiting in Major League Soccer from all these young, talented Argentines. We got a couple of them on the Dynamo. Every team in the league has got some. We are benefiting from the Argentine footballer in this country. But that to me is just that's pretty admirable, that move.
I think it's, again, kind of professionalism. And if you've got that craft, it's testing yourself in a completely different environment. And if you come into the end of the career, why not?
Yeah, wanted a piece of that environment, something different, right? It's pretty impressive. I like the fact that he's also delivered and he scored on his debut. And when he was introduced Amazing. Down there, I mean, they were going nuts down there. By the way, Memo Ochoa coming back to Club America today. Just absolute craziness
That airport was filled. Oh, my God. Yeah. It was amazing to see that reception for Memo Ochoa, you know, especially, you know, he's done so much for the national team, for Mexico, as well as, like, his career in Europe. You know, honestly, it's pretty amazing that the fans still love him that much.
All right. So I want to take you into and get your opinion, all of you guys, on, you know, there's a lot of mobilizing of supporters groups. We're doing it for this event that Tom Clare has spearheaded for us, the Houston soccer community dinner. We have representation from all different supporters groups. This is something we want to grow and continue to grow. The Dynamo, we're tapping into it now. They've contacted you guys with Real Madrid. But all the supporters groups in Houston, it's great to talk about it, bringing them together to support live soccer in the Dynamo. And there's a lot of positives there. How do you execute this? And tell us a little bit about the background of what's going on with the Dynamo.
So a little bit about the background. My director of marketing, Cesar Avellan, a fantastic man, huge Madridista. He took the initiative with the Houston Dynamo with my vice president, Juan Robles. And they basically talked about the socio program that was at Real Madrid and maybe implemented to the Houston Dynamo so that they can bring all the fan bases in Houston to come out and watch the live to support the Dynamos, because there's so many fan bases here. You know, you got Man United, Chelsea, Villa, Wolverhampton, you got Barca. I mean, there's so many of them, and I'm pretty sure, obviously, all of them, they'll go out to the bar to watch their team, but there's still that chance of them coming out to watch the Dynamos. So basically what Cesar pushed with the Houston Dynamos was that let's try to unite them, and maybe everyone can have like, oh, Real Madrid, Houston Dynamo, Wolverhampton, the Wolverhampton section of the Houston Dynamo, the Villa section of the Houston Dynamo, and slowly like help our hometown team, you know, become that great, because it doesn't matter if like if they lose 3-5 matches in a row. Of course it hurts us, but we should be there supporting our city because we love the city, you know. And every time, like when we rep Texans, Rockets, Astros, we tell them we're the best, we don't care about the rest, you know. So obviously, like I understand, like maybe there's like a little bit of how I would say questionable about this, but honestly, I think this is a fantastic project that my director of marketing started, and honestly, I would say that every fan base should get on this and support the Houston Dynamo.
You have to try. I like this idea. I like this idea. The two Pauls, I'll start with the Aston Villa Paul first. Is this something your group would be interested in, and how do you execute it?
Well, I, to be honest, the Villa supporters have actually walked the walk. When we came over to, we played the Dynamo, I think, 4 or 5 years ago. Both supporters groups came out, and we had an 11-a-side game where, we had the Dynamo had Brian Ching playing for them, and we had
a bit of a ringer there.
he was good, and he tried to
not bad, huh?
he tried to nutmeg me, and he didn't. And there was another 50-50 ball where he quite rightly pulled out because I haven't got enough talent to not probably hurt him. but my point being, it was a lot of fun, you know, where the two supporting groups got together. And really, that was the genesis for the Villa Supporters Club. So Villa and the Dynamo have got a lot of, you know, should have a lot of strong links. And it probably
How many
is.
Of your base do you think go to Dynamo games regularly?
I know a few of them do, yeah. but not probably not as many as you'd expect when we're obviously all there because we support football and we support a team. Yeah. And you know, I'll get up in the morning and annoy my wife just because, you know, if there's a football game on, it doesn't matter. I'm like a cat that's being grabbed by the back of the neck. I'll just sit there.
Is it tough keeping football a marriage together, being this dedicated to football in Aston Villa?
I love my wife. She's she's a very patient person.
My ex-wife was from Mexico City, and I think I married the only woman who didn't know anything about football in Mexico.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, no, she couldn't stand it, didn't like soccer players. Wolves, Paul, how about you? What do you think it takes? Does it take, and this has been my argument for years, sell the sport as well. Sell soccer, football as global, as well as Dynamo.
Definitely. I think you've got such a diverse, multicultural kind of community of soccer fans here in Houston that you've really got to tap into it. And it's oftentimes it's about kind of the camaraderie and going to the game and the experience that way. And sometimes for us overseas that are expats, and we'll go to the MLS games, and it's different from what we've been used to. So you kind of need to intertwine. It's a different pace of play, different players, different skills on show. So getting that selling of the game, selling of the experience, make it more experimental. Yeah, there's definitely groups out there, as we all know, to tap into and really kind of get that kind of our generation, but kind of the next generation of fans going and getting invested in the Dynamo for sure.
You've been in the States a while. What do you think of Major League Soccer overall and the growth of the league and the expansion and the things that are going on?
I think they do a lot of stuff right. And some of the examples around the country, a lot of teams in Europe could make note of and implement and enjoy it
and
to
are.
Great success.
And are. Yeah, places so. Like Atlanta, Portland, and Seattle. European teams are studying these teams closely.
Yep. So the model's definitely there. It's just tapping into that kind of specific local kind of flavor that we've got in Houston for sure.
Juan, what do you think?
I was very fortunate because I came to the States around 2003, so I got to see that golden era of the Dynamos.
That's 6 and
so
7.
So yeah. When they were playing at the U of H stadium. So yeah. Honestly, for me, the MLS, because I grew up with both Liga Española and Mexican League, so to me, the MLS is still a league that is growing. I think it still needs a little bit more, a little more integration with international. I think teams are finally starting to realize this, but at the same time, you know, they are also focusing
on
their
academy. What do you mean by a little bit more international as far as the makeup of players? Or?
To expand more, to not just focus on like, okay, we need to bring a veteran to sell the team, you know?
Right.
Maybe, you know, like kind of like how the Dynamos did with Ellis, you know? Like they need to realize that they have so much resources around the whole Latin America continent that they can go to all these leagues and see, okay, who's the best player, who's the best defender of this league, and how can we bring them to the United States? And on top of that, you know, how I would say, and they're still, like, how I like how there's homegrown players, and slowly, you know, have them be successful at their clubs, and then maybe send them to Europe so they can grow more and promote the fact that, like, oh, this player came from the MLS. There's raw talent here in the United States, especially now that, you know, the United States is such a huge country with people from all over the world, you know, and they want to represent, you know, the American team. So why not, like, invest in these academies? So that's where I see where the MLS, although they are doing it, I think it still needs to expand a little bit more.
There is no question. It is a buyer's market for MLS when
exactly.
You look south. No question about it, because people want to come here for lifestyle. People want to come here for safety. That's another reason why the De Rossi thing is kind of interesting, because there is personal safety issues when you play in Argentina. Diego Valeri of Portland told me in an interview once, one of the reasons he wanted to come to Major League Soccer is so his family could go to the game.
Yeah, exactly.
And he felt more comfortable and safe with his family. Paul Matti, how about you? Your thoughts on MLS?
Well, I actually went to the first Houston MLS game at the old Robertson Stadium.
Colorado Rapids.
I remember, what's it, Ching scored a hat-trick, I believe.
Three or four.
He might have been four.
Did he score four then, Lee?
He might have been four.
I think
four.
Five-one, he got four.
And I just remember the level of excitement then. And, I mean, for me, I don't go to the Dynamo as often as I should. You know, it seems that it hasn't grown the way you'd have expected after the wins.
No, I don't think there's any question. It's spiraled the other direction. I think we lost a lot of the things that we learned were great there. That was the return of professional soccer, which goes back to the late 60s. People were so ready for it then. I don't even think the San Jose Earthquakes who came here, I kept telling these guys when we were on the steps of City Hall, and they looked stunned because they were here because they got moved to Houston and they didn't know what life was going to treat them like in the future. And I just said, you guys put the effort in that I've seen out of you in San Jose. This city is going to go nuts. Now, we've lost it since then. There's been a lack of vision. There's been a lack of leadership, unfortunately. It's gotten us to where we are, and we want to get it back. And I think tonight the callers throughout this show brought that passion and say it's going to be back. And you three guys, I want to thank all of you.
Thanks,
Paul Matti, Paul LePage, and, of course, Juan Ramon.
You got this.
Uriarten?
There you go.
There we go.
Should we say perfect?
Paul Matti with Aston Villa, Juan Ramon with Real Madrid Peña, and then Paul LePage of Wolves. Gentlemen, a distinct pleasure, first of all, to have met you. I hope we're going to see each other again, and we're going to have you back in studio here again. You guys did a wonderful job tonight.
Thanks, Glenn.
Thank you so much, Glenn.
Thank you.
All right, and to producer Andrew Carlson, who got mad at me tonight behind the glass, all you got to do is hit that thing called TalkBack, Andrew, and tell me, Glenn, get me to a commercial break in 5 seconds, and your wish will be my command. Your command will be my wish. We'll get it done, probably, in the future. All right, we're going to get those podcasts up?
I think so. Right. I think we might manage it.
All right. Time for Andrew Carlson does an amazing job. Victor Ariza as well. A big thank you to those two guys who are a big part of this show. And they are going to be at the Houston Soccer Community Dinner. Get over to Facebook Soccer Matters. You want to support pediatric cancer research and awareness, do it. There's still time to sign up. It's going to be an amazing night. Going to be Dynamo players there, all kinds of people there that you will love to meet. So do it if you're in a supporters group or a youth club. Coming up next, Booker T, Hall of Fame. And we're not going to say anything bad to Booker T on the way out. I want to go home with all my limbs.
ESPN 97.5.